James chapter number 2, verse 14. James 2, verse 14. But every man, James 2, 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Teach us, please, direct us, help us, and guide us. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Brethren, again, there's a lot of a lot of people have tried to look at this and say, man, James and Paul were hitting on two separate cylinders here. Well, no, they weren't. No, they weren't. They weren't hitting on two separate cylinders. And once again, I do believe that Hebrews and James start their Hebrews is a transitional book that starts picking up how God will pick up with the Jews during the tribulational period. I really do honestly believe that, because you have the epistles there for the church age doctrine, then an epistle to the Hebrews, James to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Now, he's dealing with saved people in this, but to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Reading. So, I think there's an application of it. But yet, he did send it out at that time to saved people, to members of the church, members of the body of Christ. And so there's no contradiction here, brethren, other than the sense of this right here, where Paul is putting the emphasis on, again, faith, that trust in the finished work of Christ. James is showing how that, look, faith is a kind of an intangible thing. You can't see that. You can't see it. But if faith is real, there's going to have to be some evidence of it. And brethren, the books of Peter and the books of John pick up on this mindset, in the sense of saying, you may profess something, you may say something, where's the evidence of it? Peter talks about those who, it's better for them not to know the way of truth, that if they're known to turn from it. Sow turned or wallowed in a mire, the dog to his vomit. John said, they went out from us, they were not of us. Okay, and it's that kind of thing to where, listen, if faith is true, no doubt, brethren, this was a day and hour just like you have today, to where people make professions. People no doubt made professions. Something ain't right. But something ain't right. There's an evidence of something that's lacking there. There's something that you know, that James says, come on. Let's see something. Let's see something. There ought to be a difference here. There ought to be something here. And brethren, that's true. And you know what, brethren? The hyper soul winning crowd today, that crowd there, as long as you get a profession out of somebody, they're good to go. But the book of James tells us here, there needs evidence of something. You say you have faith? Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works. There should be a works in a believer, not because he's trying to be saved, but because he is saved, that bears witness and bears testimony of that. See, brother, look, God sees that faith. Later on, he's going to deal with Abraham, right? God sees that, but how do men see that faith? They can't see inside of us. It's manifested by the works that we have that show evidence of it. Okay, look at verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now listen, let's define work. Work in the dictionary is defined as action, deed, effect, that which produces from agency. That which produces from agency. In other words, if there's an agent there, a work will be produced from that. If salvation is there, works will proceed from that. Brethren, if a man says he has faith, yet has no works that bear witness to that, to saving faith, then his faith is merely words. Such a faith has no substance, no truth to it. Such a faith has no profit to it. It is empty. It is merely word. Anybody can say the words. Anybody can say, or anybody can say the words. Everybody and their brother says they're saved. Brother James is saying, it's just words. It's empty. Unless there's something back behind it. There's something manifest that reveals and shows itself. Brethren, such a faith as this cannot bring salvation, for it is empty and hollow. It has nothing to it. Well, so I should get busy doing works? No. Listen, no, not to try and be saved. Have a true heart-based faith, and the works of that faith will manifest themselves. Have a true heart-based faith toward God in Christ Jesus, and the works will manifest themselves. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Important two verses there, buddy. Notice the Bible, Paul says here, he declares the gospel. Look, he goes on to say what the gospel is. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Okay? He declares it to them. Says he preached it to them. Says they've received it. Says wherein you stand. He says, by which also you're saved. Said, listen, they had received it. In that Paul preached it to them and they didn't, he said, look, you didn't kick it away. You received it. And he says, by which also you're saved. If. There's an if there. There's an if. You're saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you. Well, wait a minute. Well, how could they not keep it in memory? How could they not keep it in memory? Unless you believed in vain. Brethren, if all they did was respond just for whatever reason to that, but without a heart-based trust, a heart turning to God through Jesus Christ, then you know what? Given enough time, it'll go by the wayside. They believed in vain. The phrase in vain means to empty, to no effect, with no result. They may work hard to keep up the show, but that's them doing it, not it being done in them. They're doing it by their own power. It's not being done in and through them. A prime example of a man believing in vain is Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer. Perfect example of a man believing in vain. The Bible says that man believed and was baptized. He believed in vain. That man was lost. Because look here, you see no evidence. Because look here, what you see is, and Peter figured it out. He was the big gun in town. Everybody said he was the great power of God. Philip comes in with the true power of God. People believe on the Lord. They're following Philip. And so Simon there, the sorcerer, realizes, I can't beat this. So you know what he does? He just follows suit. He believes. He's even baptized. Now, this was a transitionary time. Nobody had got the Holy Ghost yet. Nobody had got born again yet. This was the time of the apostles. The apostles would come and lay their hands on them. If the faith was true, the Holy Ghost would be imparted. If the faith was true, the Holy Ghost would be imparted. So he's believed. He's been baptized. He's not got the Holy Ghost yet. He's not been born again. But he's watching Philip. The Bible says he wondered. Watching Philip. So Peter and John come down. They're apostles. They lay their hands on people. And if the faith is true, if the heart's right, they get the Holy Ghost, they get born again. What happens? Simon says, Peter, what's the price? What's the price? I can't get it out of my book. So you can see how good that is. Ain't that something? Forget it. What's the price? Man. She's got to work on them pants riding that pocket. So he's like, what is the price? And Peter says, thy money perish with thee. Thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He says, repent of this thy wickedness. He said, your heart's not right in the sight of God. He said, you don't have partner a lot in this matter. He said, your heart's not right. And then someone said, well, okay, sometimes people's heart aren't right. Peter goes on to say, I perceive thou art in the gall of bitterness. Peter got it right. You know what? You're bitter. You've lost your following. You've lost your following, and that's all you want back. And you're in the bond of iniquity. And you know what he said? Pray for me that none of these things happen. How come he can't pray for himself? And brother, you never see that he got the Holy Ghost. You never see the hands got laid on him. He never got born again. He believed. He was baptized. It was in vain. Brethren, people will believe for all kinds of reasons. But God is not imparting the Holy Ghost. God is not giving the new birth unless that heart is toward God like it ought to be. Unless that heart wants God. That individual wants the Lord, turning from sin and self and turning to God through Jesus Christ. A lot of professions get made. But brethren, there's no evidence there with it. And brethren, that Bible speaks of that there should be some kind of evidence. There should be some kind of a change. Brother, what we do today is, because people do not want to face the fact that perhaps a lot of people really aren't getting saved, they make excuses. They make excuses why everybody that's getting, why aren't they in church? Well, you know how things are today. I don't buy it. The gospel never changes. The power of God never changes. What? Brethren, when people have gotten born again from the time of the cross and forward, certain things are produced. There's a change. There's a desire for the things of there are evidences of things. That's just the way it is. Brother, look here. Someone says, if you Brother Doss, you were brought up knowing you're supposed to go to church. Don't you hand me that stuff. When the Lord saved me, I found out something different now. Something inside me caused me to want it. That had nothing to do with mom and daddy and cause it. No, now I wanted it myself from within. Yes. There's a difference that the Lord brings. What we have today, we get these professions and then we make excuses for everybody. Well, you know, they just really got, you know, or they just didn't get discipled or they just didn't get. that eunuch there gets the gospel, gets saved, and he's sent on his way back. Got the Lord now. He's got scriptures. God's going to help him get what he needs and help. Brother, no, so often excuses are getting made for people. And that's a dangerous thing. It's a very dangerous thing. All right? So, brother, again, such a faith cannot bring salvation. Such a faith, because it's just hollow. It's merely in words. If the heart is there, if it's a true heart-based faith, the works of that faith will manifest themselves. God's Spirit will bear witness. There'll be the new birth, and works will manifest that it's true saving faith. Look at verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, let me. By the way, say this real quick. Notice what's taken up in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, what is the Bible baseline standard, food and raiment? You see it with John the Baptist. You see it with the Lord. You see it with the Lord Jesus. You see it with Paul. You see it here in the book of James. The Bible baseline standard of contentment and is food and raiment. Brethren, to be honest with you, food and raiment. Did you realize that so many of the amenities are simply things that God in His goodness has allowed? The very house over your head, that's more than raiment, but God's allowed it. You realize how y'all thankful y'all to be? Brethren, some of the amenities. Brethren, you realize how thankful y'all to be that when you are sick, you get to go inside a little room in your house and shut the door and it's warm and you can get sick in the privacy of a bathroom and you're not having to go outside to an outhouse or something where it's cold or bang a seat or something for spiders and wonder what's out there and in the cold. I am as serious as I can be. That is something to thank God about. It really is. That's no light thing, brethren. That is no light thing. Brethren, the Bible level of contentment with Jesus, with John, with Paul. We're here in James, food and raiment. If a brother or sister be naked, it's a lack in raiment, all right, and destitute of daily food. Notice daily food. Daily food. Go to Matthew 6. Red, look here. I'm not telling you to not buy your groceries a week ahead of time. I'm glad you can do it. It's a blessing. Now, if you can do it 2 weeks ahead of time, however it works out for you, that's fine. But understand the Bible standard, daily food. Brethren, you need to understand. Brethren, raiment and daily food. God has not done us wrong, ever, if we have those things. I'm not saying certain other needs may come up and you present them before the Lord. He knows that, and He's understand that. But brethren, understand the baseline level of contentment. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Not saying that you have to make yourself a monk. Not saying that you can't enjoy other things that God may allow, put across your path. Not saying that. But the baseline level of contentment is food and raiment. Food and raiment. That's just what the Bible says. All right? Notice it says daily food. Look at Matthew 6. Matthew 6. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Go to Luke 11. So once again, brethren, if you go to the house and there's just enough groceries for today, God's not failed you. You say, Brother Doss, there's not enough for tomorrow. Now, don't get sarcastic with me, but tomorrow hasn't come. Has tomorrow come? No. All right, let's deal with tomorrow when it gets here. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. My soul, you may die tonight. I mean, I'm serious. Or you may get a windfall tonight. Or you may, who knows what happened? Who knows what happened? It may get worse, it may get better, but it's not here. Tomorrow's not even here yet. Tomorrow is not even here yet. The book of James is also going to tell us that it is boastful to say, we're going to go, next year we're going to take and go there and dwell such a place a while and get gain and do this. James says, that's sinful to say that. That's boasting. What you should say is, if the Lord will, we shall do this or that. When you say something, you should acknowledge, well, if Lord willing, if God wills, we plan on, if the Lord wills, to do this or that. Brethren, look here. Literally, if there's groceries at the house, let's deal with tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Brother, don't get me wrong. I'm glad. I hope. Brother, for my money for it. See, if it was up to me, y'all would never grow spiritually. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I don't love like God loves. God help me. But if it's up to me, nobody ever grows spiritually. Because, see, I'd do you to where, shoot, I'd give you groceries for a year. You never have to worry about it. It'd all be stored up. I'd just have everything. See, but I'd never develop your faith. I'd never grow you. I'd love you, but on a low level. Do you understand that? Sure, I'd love you. But I'd love you on a low level. Great day God loves. God loves on such a deep level that He is planning for eternity. He wants to grow that faith, build that thing in you and I, and He is planning for eternity. And oh, may God help us to remember that. And may God help us to keep that always in mind. Brethren, see, I'd do you better than that on a short term that would hurt you in the long run. Do you understand? God loves you enough to make you at times want to fret and panic and let to grow your faith and make you strong and build you for eternity and the things that He's got in store. Luke 11, verse 3. Give us day by day our daily bread. All right. So, James 3 says, if a brother, verse 15, or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Brethren, in other words, James is telling us that words mean nothing unless there's action behind them. Words mean nothing unless there's action behind them. You say you believe in God, you believe in Jesus, but what have you done about it? Have you acted on the belief you say that you have and believed on the Lord Jesus with your heart and not just your head? Have you trusted in Him or just believed about Him? It's the difference in eternity. Have you trusted in Him or just believed about Him? Have you gone to Him and said, Lord, I turn to You. I trust You and Your atonement for the salvation of my soul. I put my trust and my faith in You and Your finished work. Have you trusted in Christ or just believed about Him? As far as a practical point, practically speaking, as far as our walk is concerned, faith without works is dead, and so is repentance. Go to Acts 26. In other words, if faith is true, there'll be works attached to it. If repentance is true, there'll be works attached to it. Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. The word meet means fitting or suitable, proper. Paul said what he preached and taught was that Gentiles, what we should do, repent and turn to God, of course, through Jesus Christ. And do works meet for, do works that fit and show evidence of repentance. There should be some action to it. Go to Revelation 2. Revelation 2. Revelation 2. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse number 5. Remember therefore whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Once again, brethren, even for people that are saved but have gotten away from God, repentance, getting back right with God, involves action, deeds, works. Repent and do the first works. Brethren, somebody can say, I repent. Well, if you really do, you're going to change something. You're going to change something. If you're sincere, if you mean that, you're going to change something. Lord, I'm sorry. God, I used to be up here. I've fallen from that. God, I'm sorry. Okay, you're sorry. If you're really sorry, what are you doing to do about it? God, I used to do this, and oh, I should be doing that now. Okay, are you going to make an effort to do that now? Repent and do the first works. Brethren, In the Bible, it just you can't dispensationalize yourself out of this thing. It just shows true repentance, true saving faith has some deed, some action, some works behind it. Even getting right with God. Anybody could say to God, God, I'm sorry. Okay, but what? If you are, stop what you're doing. At least try to stop. At least make the effort. At least show that you mean business about this. Do something about it. Can you imagine telling somebody in your family, I'm sorry, but they never see you make an effort to be different? Brethren, repentance is not, I'm sorry, forgive me. Repentance is, look, I am sorry, please forgive me. And they see you're trying to do different. You're making an effort. You're putting forth that you're doing something different there. There's action involved. Without, listen, brethren, without some activity, without some deeds, without some effort, it's just words. And that's what the book of James is telling us. That talking of faith, talking of repentance, without some action behind it, it's not true. It's not true repentance. It's not true saving faith. It's not true sorrow. If it is, there's some deed behind it. There's some work behind it. There's some action behind it that'll manifest itself. Look here. Go back to James 3, 2, verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Once again, true faith must have evidence. It must have substance to it. This is the essence of what James is speaking of here in this verse. We can say anything and be orthodox and correct in what we say. But if we truly have saving faith, it will be manifested in the works it produces in our lives. Something's got to be different. Go to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, verse 8. I'll tell you something. If a person tries to manifest the works that saving faith and true repentance produces, you won't have one of two things. You'll realize, I can't do it. I can't do it. And you'll try to say, well, why is it easier for some of the people? Why is it just easier for some of the people? Why can they just... It's not it. It's the Lord being inside. It's you coming to that place of realizing, I need God in truth to where He does the work from the inside out. You know something? You'll have a lot of sexual perverts today who will say, and it sounds like anguish at one point. I know of a situation where a lesbian has said to some people close to her, she said, why is it so easy for everybody else? Why is it so? What she claims to be what she seems to be saying is, why am I different? Why is it just easy? Whoa. No. God didn't make you that way. And for whatever may be pulling at you, everybody's got something that pulls at them wrong. Everybody's got something that pulls at them wrong. It's what you choose to yield to. Because now listen to me. What are you going to do if a person says, I can't help? And brethren, I hate to use this illustration. I hate to. It grieves me. I hate to. My skin literally just about curls up to use this kind of illustration. But what if someone says, well, 2-year-old, 3-year-old. Great. Dave, even say it. And there are people like that. What are you going to say if they say, but I feel a pull? What are you going to say to them? So there you make a distinction. You're setting yourself up as God. You're setting yourself up as God. Oh, the one's okay between consenting adults, but that's a, hey, one says I feel a pull just like. No, God says it's all sinful and abomination. Everybody's got a pull towards something in some way. You make choices. Yes. You make choices. Now, that's just the truth, brethren. It just is. There are choices made. And, brethren, listen. Again, we can say anything. But, brethren, salvation brings a change that only God can do and produce. And produces it inwardly. If you try to take and produce those works, it'll either show you that, you know what, I can't do it. And you'll try to tell yourself, well, it's just easy for some people. They've had a better education, raising, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No. If God abides within you, you can do right. You can do right if the Lord abides within you. It's a matter of having the new birth. About like that fella years ago, I knew. And once again, every church he had been in, he had been very active. They'd always, because he'd come to church, right? That's what happens today. You get a warm body, you come to church, they'll put you in charge of anything. It's the truth. It's true. So they'd have them teaching Sunday school or teaching youth. They're just always very involved. But you could tell something ain't right. Something ain't right. Something ain't right. I mean, you couldn't stand and look at the guy and say, I don't think you've ever been born again. I mean, you can't do that, but you couldn't lie to yourself. Something ain't right. You know what that fella had to put in place and realize? And it came about just by sheer Bible. See, if you gave him a packet of material, he could do that. Anybody can. If you gave him a Sunday school manual or a Sunday school packet, he could do that. But when it took and trying to feed his family from the Word of God, it couldn't be done. And what was happening was he had a good show in front of everybody. In the churches he had been in, everything went real good. Because they thought he was the cat's meow. Because he was very active. But his family knew something ain't right. He either can't feed us or won't feed us. You understand? And he couldn't do it. It just wasn't there in him. What happened? Well, praise be to God, he finally humbled down and admitted it. He admitted the truth to himself and got saved. Y'all listen. I'll say it again. We can say anything and be orthodox and correct in what we say, but if we truly have saving faith, it will be manifested in the works it produces in our lives. Look at Ephesians 2, verse 8. Ephesians 2, verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Look at verse 10, though. And verse 8 and 9 gets quoted a lot, and that's fine, but look at verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Brethren, if you and I are really a work of God, there will be good works in the name of Christ, lining up with Scripture, that will be in our lives. There will be evidence to it. There will be force to it. There will be proof in the pudding, if you will. There will be evidence to that thing. If we are his workmanship, if we are a work of God, he's created us unto good works, and those things will be there. But I'll say this, brethren. Good works in the name of Jesus Christ and works that have a spiritual nature to them. A spiritual nature. Brethren, a lost man can do anything externally, but the works that God produces will have a spiritual nature and aspect to them. Look at Titus chapter 3. Titus 3. Titus 3. Verse 8. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Amen. It's just there, brethren, that they complement one another. They go together. Saving faith should have works to it. True repentance should have works meet for repentance. God's done a work in us. We're in his workmanship. He's created us unto good works. That's where it's at. And you know what we're going to see as we go through the book of James, brethren? You know what we're going to see? You know what we're going to see? That, brethren, something has happened. A transition has taken place. And a lot of believers today think that as long as I... Listen to me. As long as I will give somebody a track, yell at them on a street corner, or even do it right on a street corner, even do it right, then how I live and how I manifest my life, that's not really important. You got it backwards. You got it backwards. A lost person can pass out tracts. I've seen them do it. It happens all the time. A lost person can take and say all kind of things and do all kind of things. And some people just like the sheer excitement of something and like to be. But what has God done in your life, in you? I'm serious, brethren. Brethren, you know the people that we should that should be affected by our faith? The people around us, our family, people we work with, the people, they should see some evidence of something, because they examine us. They see us. They see where we're at. But we've put such an emphasis today on thinking that, boy, I've got out. That's fine. But where does your Bible put emphasis at? How many verses do you see about scripture signs? And I'm not against them. Man, I hope nobody goes out of here thinking I'm not against them. I'm saying, well, you read your Bible. What kind of stuff does the Bible put emphasis on? Because you know what I think happens a lot of times? That pulls out where somebody's at. They don't face where they're at. They don't come to grips with it. Because if I can stay busy and active, then I can hide behind that. Seriously, it's a dangerous thing to do, though. Look here. Go back to James chapter 2. We'll finish it up here. James 2. Once again, verse number 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? Now, we know faith can save him. We know that, but not this kind of faith. Not the kind of faith that is just merely words. That is not a heart-based, heartfelt, that's just merely words. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful of the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Now again, somebody may say, okay, well, I'm going to do works now. Well, you're still missing it. Because once again, you're going to try to do it's from the heart, a saving faith from the heart, a heart toward God. Back in Acts, when the Holy Ghost was given, the Bible, Peter said, and God, who knoweth the hearts of all men, gave them the Holy Ghost. God imparted the Holy Ghost, whether at the moment they called upon the Lord or by the apostles' hands, when he saw the condition of the heart. If that condition of the heart was not truly toward God, if it was merely words and the heart was toward, the Holy Ghost was not imparted. The new birth didn't take place. And brethren, if it was so and did, there would be manifestation of it by a changed life, by works. Verse 17, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works. And I will show thee my faith by my works. Once again, the evidence of it. The evidence of it. And not, brethren, and not merely external things, but spiritual works, things done in the power and direction of the Spirit of God that only God can do. Let's pray. Father, Lord, help us, dear God, to take and examine ourselves always, Lord, in the light of these passages. Father, I'm quite sure that there would be many that would take, as we expound on these verses, that would try to say that, Lord, we're just trying to, not think anybody saved or have people, Lord, retread. Lord, you know, Father, I can't stand that kind of thing. But, Father, we can't get around what your word says. We can't. And Father, we can't get around how also your word shows us, Lord, how people, Lord, can deceive themselves. And Lord, we just don't want that happening. And Father, your word tells us that Lord, true saving faith is more than just mere words. If the heart is engaged, and the new birth has taken place, Lord, there'll be evidence, there'll be action, there'll be deed, there'll be works. Lord, your word says that a saving true faith here has works to it. Repentance, whether it's in salvation or getting right after salvation, involves some deed, some work, some action. Otherwise, it's just empty. There's no substance to it. Lord, you said in Revelation, repent and do the first works. Lord, we can say anything. Lord, if we're sincere about it, there'll be action to it. Many people say they believe in you, Lord, but they've never repented and turned to you and trusted, Father, in the Lord Jesus for salvation. Father, please, Lord, we ask you to have your way and your will. Lord, just take this and impress it upon our hearts where and as we need it. And we ask this in the Lord Jesus' name, and please, for his sake, according unto thy will. Amen.